Okay, hello everybody, and we are beginning with the 20th, I believe it is, program when dealing with the rules for the astral plane. Let's see if I go down here just a little bit, that'll confirm it for me. And we are roughly on page 285. Now, what we've dealt with up to this time is the manifestation of the quaternary, the cell life, the sensory life, the mental life, and the vital life. But he says there are other aspects of humanity which manifest through the objective form and which complete the entire man and make the seven of his manifold objective existence. So he had self-consciousness, self-expression, self-perpetuation, and self-assertion, but they are not in order, as he adds them. So the next section, which begins here, puts them in order. Let's see. The above enumeration, he says, might therefore be arranged in the following order. The table gives man as he is intended to be, and not as he now is in the course of evolutionary process. So let's make a note of that and go through this a little bit as we begin our 20th program. So the first aspect of man then is self-assertion, and this is the full development, the coordinated quaternary. And the quaternary, one way of looking at that is the entire personality, the three vehicles plus their union as the personality elemental. This is related to the center at the base of the spine and to the adrenal glands. And we realize that the center at the base of the spine corresponds to the fully developed will, just as the center at the top of the head corresponds to fully developed purpose. So, interestingly, this center at the base of the spine is fully activated at the fifth initiation and begins its real, well, noticeable activation, conscious activation at the third degree. Then comes self-expression or creative work. And the lower brain is there involved. He's giving all the correspondences, the associated organs and systems in the physical body. The throat center ruled by the third ray, principally. In the disciple, it is by Saturn, okay, and no longer by the Earth, and sometimes by Uranus. And the gland involved is the thyroid gland. Then comes the self-conscious life, which is the life of the personality, and the upper brain is involved here, the head center and the pineal gland, interestingly. So you kind of wonder whether these are in exact order, as the pineal gland is associated with the soul. Next comes self-perpetuation. The sex organs are involved and the sacral center. The sex glands are the glands involved, the gonads and the ovaries. Interestingly, he follows this with the mental life, and this the sacral center is actually the seat of the mental elemental at first, and later its controlling center is the, I suppose, the ajna center, or to some extent the throat center. The mental life, and this is the cerebrospinal system, nervous system, which deals with voluntary actions. The will is involved, and one can consciously control within the cerebrospinal system. He calls it the ajna center as the controlling center. The pituitary, we realized, is involved. Then the sensory life. The sympathetic nervous system and the solar plexus, the pancreas, is involved, here regarding the sympathetic nervous system. Well, let's just say it's part of the autonomous nervous system, a part of the vertebrate nervous system that innervates smooth and cardiac muscle and glandular tissue and governs involuntary actions such as secretion and peristalsis, and that consists of the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. They oftentimes contradict each other. The sympathetic nervous system, I wonder if we can, let's see, is one of the two major divisions of the autonomic nervous system, the other being the parasympathetic. Of course, it gets a little bit involved here, and I don't want to, well, just a little statement. The sympathetic nervous system's primary process is to stimulate the body's flight or fight response. It is, however, constantly active at a basic level to maintain homeostasis, homeodynamics. The sympathetic nervous system is described as being complementary to the parasympathetic nervous system, which stimulates the body to, as it says here, feed and breed, and then to rest and digest. Well, obviously, in the medical field, there's so much that can be discussed here. As far as the cerebrospinal nervous system, the portion of the nervous system in vertebrates comprising the brain, cranial nerves, spinal cord, and spinal nerves, concerned with the transmission of impulses from sense organs to the voluntary muscles. So we see that it's not subconscious, as is the autonomic nervous system, but the will is involved, the voluntary muscles. We can at will move these muscles. Okay, so sensory life, the sympathetic nervous system, the solar plexus, and finally the cell life, the bloodstream, the heart center is the center, and the organ is the heart, though not technically a gland. The thymus gland, I would suspect, is the gland to be looking at. All of this is quite technical and is useful to us to a certain degree. So we have to read these two tabulations of eight. Yeah, here, for the cell life, the thymus gland is mentioned, and for the vital life is included, but below the vital life is not included. No, but it could be included. Okay. The eighth point, and he's discussing it now. The eighth point, the vital life functioning through the seven centers and a whole system of lesser chakras and the nadis, which underlie the nerves and are the cause of their existence, as the centers are of the glands. Now, note that the nadis are the cause of the nerves, as the centers are the cause, the substanding cause of the glands. So the vital life is the medium of many forces and energies, some purely physical, others related to the anima mundi or the world soul, and others unknown as yet, because they will only make their presence felt later in the evolutionary program. So let's see if we can look at this here. So this is, and I'm going to make this in our color here, which I hope will be, yeah, correct. So so this tells us that the vital body can carry all kinds of energies. That's the point. All right, now just takes a little bit of doing here to make this in the appropriate color. All right, there we go. They will then express divinity, the energy of the Father or the highest aspect. So we can expect that our vital life will carry the energy of the soul, and will also carry later the energy of the monad and, well, points beyond, I suppose, if a Maya Varupa is created by a master, higher factors within the planetary logos will be expressed. So this is all a little bit intricate and quite medical, and we'd have to sort this out step by step, because it tells us this is man as he is intended to be. Okay, well, supposedly we're moving down the scale somewhat, although it's hard to see self-perpetuation above the mental life. Okay, it should be noted that the above tabulation pictures the second ray unfoldment, and I suppose what this means is the unfoldment according to consciousness, and also that the self referred to is the self-realization of the spiritual man. Okay, so let's look at that again. And yes, okay, there's self-assertion, the assertion of the spiritual man. There's self-expression, the expression of the spiritual man. There is self-conscious life, although he does specify the personality. And when he talks about self-perpetuation, we realize that the self involved is not exactly the self, which is the spiritual man. So he says the self referred to is the self-realization of the spiritual man, and I would say mostly. The lowest aspect of the vital life of God is the perpetuation of the species. Now, in our tabulation here, it's not exactly listed at the very bottom of the tabulation, but near the bottom. The perpetuation of the species, and this is the result of the livingness of the incarnated life. So this is the real cause of self-perpetuation. And about this, and a kind of an eternal, immortal, living aspect that is carried in the sperm, Blavatsky deals in some of her writings. And the next is simply expressive of the stage when the I consciousness is dominant and has reached its consummation in the completed personality. Okay. The lowest aspect of the vital life of God is the perpetuation of the species. And this is the result of the livingness of the incarnated life. And by the life, I suppose we mean the spirit itself. Okay. Oh my, here we go again. Let's just hope that this actually works. Okay. It wants me to save and tells me I'm having difficulty doing so. The spirit. Okay. So, let's bring this back. And this is the spirit itself. Okay. And the next is simply expressive of the stage when the I consciousness is dominant. This is the personality phase and has reached its consummation in the completed personality. Now, what phase would that be here? This is the self-conscious life, the personality. Now, self-perpetuation, however, is listed below that particular category. Okay. Then comes the expression of the indwelling self hidden by the personality for its creative activity of a non, and through its creative activity of a non-physical character. And finally, basically what he's doing here, he's rising. Okay. Let's just put it like this, as he deals with the most recent eightfold enumeration. He is rising in considering the factors. So he's rising and not descending here. Then comes the expression of the indwelling self, hidden by the personality through its creative activity of a non-physical character. And we might say, this is the creative activity of the, okay, how about spelling? Activity of the soul. And finally, and this would be at the, okay, finally, at the top of the eight, we have the assertion of the full manifestation of the divine nature. This, curiously enough, can only occur, and it is curious because we consider the base of the spine as a relatively low center. At least it is present and active and necessarily sustaining in the earlier parts of human evolution when these divine manifestations through the mechanism are not at all possible. So this, curiously enough, can only occur when the lower spinal center is aroused, when the energy of the material nature is carried by an act of the will up into heaven, and you know what we call this, the rising of the Kundalini, at the fifth initiation, quite totally then up to the top of the head, and when therefore the entire nature, material, sensitive, or psychic, and the existence aspect are unified and realized. So this is the consummation. Okay, let's call this the consummation of the process. Okay. The consummation of the process. Meditate upon these words, for they connote the consummation as far as humanity is concerned. Okay. So what is one of the things that's interesting here in this second tabulation, he talks about man as he should be, is that the factors relating to the self are the higher four, and the lower four seem to be, well, more involved with the personality elementals, mental life, sensory life involving the solar plexus and the astral body, and cell life involving the physical body. As far as the vital body goes, it's not in the enumeration, but then he takes it up as pervading in a way the entirety and offering the opportunity for greater aspects of divinity to permeate this particular system. He does begin to rise from the time he talks about it, you know, from self-perpetuation upward to the self-conscious life. And the personality, in a way, is divine. It is an expression of the soul. And then we have the self-expression rising, and that is creative soul work. And finally, self-assertion, the will of the soul, the full development, the completely integrated personality coordinated with the soul, and the center at the base of the spine active, bringing about, maybe in a Maya Virupa, but certainly from the time of the third degree, bringing about that integration of the personality, the soul, and even the spirit. So this has to be closely studied, of course, because he's not exactly showing the glands in the order that you would expect to find them. It's interesting because, you know, of course, the pineal gland is one of the highest, but then it's followed as we ascend by the thyroid gland and the throat center, which is not, compared to the head center, an especially high center. It's tertiary. And then we start descending to the adrenals, which are connected with the base of the spine in order for the entire coordination to occur. So this is intricate, I admit, and requires that we really go through it in a detailed manner. This is just setting forth and trying to point out a few things. But eventually, we should be the completely spiritual being or spirit being, and we assert ourselves through the dominant will, eventually, of the monad. And that is our full development. When the monad is involved, we can connect the center at the base of the spine quite completely with the great head center. Now, that's the fifth initiation. But at the sixth initiation, you know, to what extent is this enhanced? And at the seventh, even though we would be dealing largely at that point with Maya Virupas. All right, now let's go on. It's a little bit different from the technicalities we've just been involved in. DK advises us regarding these technicalities to meditate upon these words, for they connote the consummation as far as humanity is concerned. Now, this is interesting because it is said in Rule 6 of the Masters, of the Masters, it is said in Rule 6 of the Chohans, let's say of the Chohans, we'll do it that way. It is said in Rule 6 of the Chohans, it is said in Rule number 6 that they are no longer men as are the masters. Now, this is very interesting because what we've been looking at is a kind of a tabulation and enumeration, which is a consummation for humanity, that is, for human beings. Now, maybe he considers Chohan something a little different, higher than the human being. So I'm going to enlarge this little section so that it comes to our attention. The basic thing here is that we bring certain ideas, at least to our attention, for further meditation. Okay, they are no longer men as are the masters. Good. Now, let's go on to a different sequence, which can be used in various ways. The occult aphorism, to will, to know, to dare, and to be silent, has a special significance, not hitherto revealed, and at which it is only possible for me to hint. Hint. Okay. Those of you who have the inner knowledge will comprehend at once. To will. These words relate to the ultimate achievement when, by an act of the combined will of the soul and the lower man, unification and realization are brought about. It concerns the center at the base of the spine, and this ultimately will concern, and this is why he's mentioning here, in relation to, okay, how can I say? He is mentioning this in relation to the consummation of which he speaks immediately above. The consummation for humanity, which does not include the Chohan, who is certainly no longer a member of the human kingdom. He's a member of the kingdom of souls. In fact, he is a member of the planetary lives. So this ultimately will concern the fifth initiation, to will. Now, there's more to it than just the will of the soul, and we'll discuss that in a minute. So he's relating these to the different chakras, and as said, the base of spine center relates to the will, whereas the great head center relates to purpose. And interestingly, Atma is will and is the fifth plane from below, and purpose is discovered through the monad, which resides in its vehicle. Let's see if I can get this here. In its vehicle on the sixth subplane from below. So I think you can see that here. Whoop. I don't know what just happened. Something, there it is. All right. So here the will, the spiritual will, resides through Atma. Of course, it really gets it from the monad, but we can speak of the will on the atmic plane and in relation to the master. When it comes to purpose, the idea of aligning the highest head center and the base of the spine involves these two planes. Purpose resides with the monad on the sixth subplane from below or the second from above, and must relate to Atma, which relates to the center at the base of the spine, the third from above or the fifth from below. And remember, we're dealing with the material aspect of man when we deal with the Kundalini. So it's the complete rising of the Kundalini through the direction of the spiritual will or atmic will. And he has told us also that the Ajna Center is involved in this. Interestingly, the Ajna Center, it usually carries a very strong fifth ray, which is going to, and also first ray. Of course, it's a center looked at variously, which carries all the rays, especially if we consider the Ajna Center of the astral vehicle. All the rays are found manifesting through the atmic, through the Ajna Center. So this atmic development relates to the base of the spine, and the understanding of purpose through the monad relates to the highest head center. All right, I think that gives it to us. This ultimately, all right, there we go. All right, so to will. Is it simply the will of the soul, or is the will of the monad also involved? This is something we have to consider. To know, these words concern the Ajna Center. It's interesting that the faculty of all knowledge is found upon the atmic plane. On its third sub-level. All right, these words concern the Ajna Center. We have just related the atmic plane and spiritual will to the base center, but now perhaps to the Ajna Center. These words concern the Ajna Center, the center between the eyebrows. A hint lies in the words, let the mother know the father. It has relation to the marriage in the heavens. So, in one sense, let's make one for that, okay? In one sense, there we go. So, in one sense, we are speaking of the marriage of Vulcan with Venus, and of the head center with the Ajna Center. Okay. Now, we can also look at that. Let's say that Atma is the height of the Brahmic aspect. the lower five planes of the cosmic physical plane, the normal systemic planes. So let the monad unite with the Brahmic aspect, headed by Atma. This is another way of looking at this idea of let the father know the mother, because interestingly enough, Brahma, though a male deity, is often associated with the third aspect, which can be considered feminine from a certain point of view. In the Kabbalah, it is also so. It's not called Brahma, it's called Bina, but it's pretty close, isn't it? When you think about the Sanskrit way of considering this, and then also the Hebrew way, it looks like maybe the Hebrew is derived somewhat from the Sanskrit. We are told in the Secret Doctrine that Abraham and his group originated in India and wandered from India, and that he was not a Brahman, because the privative A is there, Abram, see, not a Brahman. So that the Hebrew group wandered from India. So it's not too surprising to think of the Kabbalah as somewhat derivative from the Sanskrit knowledge derived in India. Of course, from another perspective, it is said that the Old Testament is the summation of the wisdom of the previous solar system. So did that exist in India? Maybe. The personality sign of India is Capricorn. I don't know if it's always been that, because those signs can change. But it's got an Aries soul and Capricorn personality. And he says down the ages, it's been a battlefield with Mars and Capricorn, exalted in Capricorn. So it makes you think that Capricorn has been there for quite a while. In any case, Capricorn is definitely associated with the Hebrew group, Capricorn and Virgo. So, and you know, with the third ray very prominently, and thus with the previous solar system, even though the rays of India are given as 1 and 4. Interestingly, the first ray associates keenly with Aries as the major ray coming through Aries, but the third ray, which is so prominent for the Jews, the Hebrews, is found in Capricorn, but not in the soul ray, in the personality ray of India, which is the fourth ray. So the fourth ray is not associated with Capricorn, whereas the rays of the Hebrews, 1 and 3, are much associated with Capricorn. All right, a little bit of a digression. Will we ever get through this? To will, to know, to dare, and to be silent. To know. These words concern the Ajna Center. From one respect, humanity is the Ajna Center within a larger solar system, and certainly the new group of world servers as a subset within humanity occupies the Ajna Center of Sanat Kumara. These words concern the Ajna Center. The center between the eyebrows, the hint lies in the words, let the mother know the father. It's an integration between the spirit aspect and the matter aspect. I think that's important, and the son will be produced. This is an integration between the father. Okay, I always am doing that. Between the father aspect and the mother aspect. It has relation to the marriage in the heavens. Okay. There are various ways of interpreting, and I'm trying to offer some of these. To dare. These words give the clue to the subordination of the personality. I suppose, by the will of the soul, and especially if the higher will is added, is also involved. These words give the clue to the subordination of the personality and have a close connection with the solar plexus ruled by Mars, a planet of daring, certainly. The solar plexus, the great clearinghouse of desire and of the astral forces, and also the main center of transmutative work, and I would add here, through aspiration. He tells us that the transmutation is, aspiration is not simply an emotional attitude. It is a scientific means of elevation. And then to be silent. This phrase relates to the transmutation of the lower creative energy into the higher creative life. The sacral center has to relapse into silence. This is, you know, a new type of interpretation for this sequence. And basically, the lower elementals are display occult obedience and silence in the face of higher will and knowledge. Okay. Whoop. As always, higher will and knowledge. It will be seen that for the disciple, the following centers are of paramount importance. Now let's just review a little bit what we've done. To will, he talks about the will of the soul, and if all of us could indeed conform to the will of the soul, we would be much more in alignment with our higher principles, of course. But there's more to it, because to will can eventually extend from the spirit life or the monadic life, from the will of the triad, the spiritual will, and even from the will of the monad, which carries purpose. Now, to know what faculty within us, what vehicle, which one of the three periodical vehicles is involved there, is this really a personality factor? Does this involve the higher mind, perhaps? If it does, it involves the soul. The soul is the knower. The soul is the representative of the consciousness aspect. So from a certain point of view, we can see that will represents the monad and an aspect of the triad. And to know represents an aspect of the triad and what we usually call the soul consciousness in the causal body. That's where the real knowing takes place. Now, when the mind is held steady in the light through meditation, that knowing can enter the personality consciousness. And then with the soul-infused mind, within the personality, the entire personality can be regulated and can be compelled to dare, and thus to subordinate its usual fears to the higher destiny, which must be achieved as one, you know, passes through the usual fear. So many little background things are going on here, sorry. Occasionally things appear on the computer that are just have a mind of their own, you know, they just appear. All right, so to will, to know, to dare, because we now have the will of the monad and its extension, the will of the triad and its extension, the will of the soul, active. Under three wills, I'm going to put this down, that under three types of will, the personality is, let's call it, impelled to acquiesce and to dare. The will, the will of the monad, the will of the triad, through the spiritual will, and the will of the soul within the egoic lotus causal body. These types of will force the personality to succumb to what do we say, to higher directives. Okay, so eventually, you know, I suppose there are acts of daring that come out of the personality itself. The kind of daring we're talking about is perhaps more found in the Agni Yoga book, where Master Maurya gives a short little few pages in what he calls the Book of Daring. That Book of Daring ends with an act of identification, and then the least of these, you know, I'll paraphrase somewhat because I can't remember exactly, but the least of these faced the shining stars or saluted the shining stars and said, "Hail, brothers," great act of identification, right? And then he goes on, and in this salutation of daring, his ego vanished. So I suppose one of the most daring things we can do, rather than the normal daring do, you know, as they say when you are brave on the physical plane, is to relinquish our lower ego and to identify with the greater lives and ultimately with the greater life. And then finally, to be silent looks like it's concerning the chakras within the personality mechanism, and especially the sacral center, where, as it has been said, we cease reproducing our own kind and begin to reproduce ourselves. There's an occult significance to that, although he says even the masters do on occasion marry and have children. So it has a lot to do with the sacral center being used deliberately and according to the will and according to the plan and design rather than impulsively and instinctively. So to will, monad. To know, soul. To dare, personality, or the acquiescence of the personality in the face of the higher types of will. And to be silent, the ordinarily instinctual tendencies of the lower personality and its chakra system, and especially the sacral center, which he considers to be a temporary evocation and not really a not really part of the system. I suppose that the sacral center might disappear if the separation of the sexes were to return to its unified condition. And I suppose one day we will be the divine hermaphrodite, just as our planetary logos is. Hermaphroditism was an early state, and then came this Lemurian separation of the sexes and the experience with all manner of polarity, so that we become adjudicators between the pairs of opposites. And eventually, as we ascend in our spiritual status, we will become, again, spiritually hermaphroditic, which is oftentimes misinterpreted as the tendency towards homosexuality. I don't think it is that at all. It's something quite higher, and both of the sexes are somehow included within a unity that is the planetary logos. I don't know where this divine hermaphroditism begins again. We have been told that the planetary logos is the divine hermaphrodite, but maybe it begins even earlier. So let's go on a bit. You know, these are, imagine, this is a foundational book, and yet very demanding if we really think carefully about what is being said. I guess the important thing for all of us is to somehow carry out this ability at least to exert the soul will to fill the mind with light so that there is soul knowledge, and under that knowledge to dare to do that which aligns us with the divine plan and purpose, and then for instinctual and inhibitory or interfering elements of the personality to be subdued so they do not not interfere with the higher process which is meant to work out through them. They are commanded by the will and by intelligence and by love, and not simply by instinctual promptings. Well, you know, one just has to respect Master DK and his knowledge here as one tries to understand these chakras from a deeper point of view. It will be seen then that for the disciple, the following centers are of paramount importance. The Ajna center, through which the purified personality expresses itself, this is a synthesis of Brahma, of the lower aspect. Of the lower aspects of, let's say, of the third aspect of divinity. All right, so the following centers are of paramount importance. Paramount. Okay, let's see if the heart center is somehow listed. I haven't gone down there to see. I would expect it would have to be, but let's just see. Okay, to will, to know, to dare, and to be silent. I just want to somehow emphasize that, enlarge that, and, you know, highlight that. Right. Okay. So, the Ajna Center. Now, remember, the Ajna Center up here, came in under knowing. And really, if we look at the human mind, especially the developed human mind, it is the not only the throat center, but the Ajna center as well, which must be involved to complete that knowing. It's all very Mercurian. The Ajna center, let's say the throat center, involves very much the third ray. The Ajna center at first involves the fifth ray. Then comes the fourth ray. Now, those three rays are Mercurian rays. The third ray, ultimate monad, I think. The fourth ray, soul. The fifth ray, submonad. The third ray, ultimate monad. And the fourth ray, soul of Mercury. So, I want to just put here to check the rays of Mercury, the preeminent planet of the mind. Venus is the planet of love very much, but it does get involved in fusing love and mind. All right. It seems that I always have to go backwards a bit, like the crab. Then, the center of the base of the spine. Okay, so I'll highlight these, or at least underline them. the center of the base of the spine, which is the center through which complete and utter control and coordination is achieved, especially in this fourth round, through the arousing of the purifying agent of fire. Okay, in this fourth round, and this is Kundalini Dynamics. But it's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing, the finality of the base of spine center. You would think, well, you know, it's got to be the highest head center. Well, I think, you know, the highest center is involved very much preliminarily at the fifth degree, but at the sixth and seventh also. So there is a still higher synthesis, but at least at mastership and the fifth initiation, we're dealing with the center at the base of the spine. And you might not, you know, think that that is the way it is, but it turns out to be, and that has tremendous implications for the Earth, our planetary logos and this Earth scheme, which is the center at the base of the spine for the solar logos. And it's almost like if this is the case for the human being to achieve mastership, then we know that our solar logos is not yet a cosmic master. It's not even a cosmic initiate of the third degree. Can it be that our particular planet appearing and logos appearing now and appearing in the next solar system will somehow be very active and involved in helping to create the cosmic mastership of our solar logos? Well, those are words, and I don't think we can know what they mean, but it does tell us something about the status of our solar logos at present. That solar logos is not yet a sacred solar logos, whereas Sirius is. Okay. The sacral center. Now, sometimes he does not emphasize the sacral center at all, but at least we're talking about for the disciple, you know, maybe not for the initiate. Maybe there would be different centers that we'd be talking about. The sacral center, we're in the basic force of our particular solar system. The force of attraction of form to form is transmuted, and the attractive force of the soul takes the place of the reproductive creative material activity. And the question is, does this latter type of attractive force actually work through the sacral center? Okay. Well, I'll just put it in their sacral center, or is a higher center like the heart center involved? Because, you know, if you think about it, sacral center has six petals. The two units that are attracted to each other each have six petals. Six and six is 12. 12 is the number of petals of the heart center. And 2 12s is 24, the number of Shambhala. Well, the esoteric numerology gets interesting. But sometimes he dismisses the sacral center as of real importance, and other times he, as in this particular case, he says for the disciple it is. Now, basically, we are transmuting earlier solar system tendencies. The major solar system was very material and personal in the sense that the lower elemental lives were the major factor, and perhaps soul development was not as promoted as it is now. Okay, now let's see if there's more. that's of importance to us. The solar plexus center. Okay, I guess we're getting all the lower centers, aren't we? Base of the spine, sacral, solar plexus, and ajna. The solar plexus, which is situated in the center of the body and being the organ of the astral body and of the lower psychism, and let's just say ajna center. Okay, how do I do that? AJC, ajna center of the higher psychism, ajna center of the higher psychism, gathers all the lower forces and redirects them under the impulse of the soul to their higher repositories. So let's just say that, and this is very important, in all such transferences of energy from the lower center to the higher, the soul is involved. All right, so what do we have so far? No, we can't do that. We have to leave that as a number four. Okay, yes. We have the ajna center, the directing center. We have basically the three centers which control the personality. Center of the base of the spine, sacral center, and solar plexus center. And these lower centers and their director apply to discipleship. Well, once we become the true initiate, I don't know what grade of discipleship he's talking about, but maybe it even includes, has to a certain extent, probationary initiation, the first and second initiations. There's a lot to be mastered, a lot to be transferred. Now, DK is telling us here, what a book, huh? I realize that the teaching given here is both deep and abstruse, but is needed for the few, and their numbers will increase as time elapses. The complexity of the subject is also increased by the fact that each ray holds within its teaching a different approach and a different method for those souls who are found responsive to its particular impulse. Well, you know, we can be grateful later. There is the giving of these ray techniques in esoteric healing, esoteric psychology, especially esoteric psychology 2, ray methods are given. Old commentary expressing the ray methods are given. And now this book is written earlier than those presentations. So I think for our next program, we'll be going on and looking at the seven keys for the seven ray methods. And some wonderful statements there worth memorizing. I once did, but, you know, use it or lose it. If you don't refresh it, apply it, it doesn't hold. But maybe it comes back sooner. That would be the hope. All right, so let's... if you'll indulge me, I'll go up here to where we began with beginnings and ends. All right, so I'll go here, and this is the end of number 20, I guess. At least DK does acknowledge the abstruseness of this material and how, in a way, very learned we have to be or become in order to really appreciate what's going on here. So this is 10.4, and we're dealing with from 285 to what? Okay, to 288. Not a whole lot of ground covered, but then some things are difficult, and whatever day this may be, August 12th, Blavatsky's birthday today. It's worth considering, right? We have to be grateful that she was such a strong Leo as she was, and we're working from 288 onward into, you know, whatever. We only go a few pages at a time. So, friends, I, like any of us, I always feel inadequate when facing this material. I make of it the best that I can, you know, given the knowledge I have, and as they say, at my present level of ignorance, I do what I can with it. The idea is to work with Mercury, a lot with Mercury, and link up the various items of information so that they begin to make more sense and begin to approach that condition of realization we call pure reason. We're not there yet. It's a Buddhic thing, and probably it doesn't really kick into real usefulness until after the third degree, and really more at the fourth degree and beyond. I would say it's a Buddhic factor, right? But we have to make our way towards it. And the way to do that is to study as carefully the factual knowledge given by Master DK and to link it up, to link up these items of factuality with each other, and the light will break forth. You know, much light that could break forth will not for us, because we cannot yet make all of the links that would be evident to the Master, but okay, we do something at least. All right, so that's it for the moment, and we'll be back, hopefully, carrying on in this, what, easy book? Foundational, fundamental book. He's thinking ahead for those of us who can understand and who will need these kinds of presentations. If we think that simply by listening to this or reading it through once we're going to get it, we are sadly mistaken. But at least we are understanding more and more, step by step. And we understand that the elevation of the forces is what is required if we are to have the elevation of consciousness and the elevation of ability coming under the divine will. Okay. See you soon.